Thank you so much for joining us today. We would love to hear how God is using this ministry to touch your life. So please, take a minute and send us your story to mystory@crossroadscb.org. And if God has used this ministry to touch your life in any way, we want to encourage you, partner with us financially. Help us continue delivering God's word to the world. You can visit crossroadscb.org to find the giving option that works best for you. Thanks again for joining us and enjoy today's message.
Drew Milliken, won't you come on up? It's Pastor Drew to you. He brought his team with us this morning, Collective Church, coming to Omaha 2021. So yeah. We're excited for you guys and praying for you, and we are here as a church to do whatever we can to help you.
Man, I so appreciate it. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Man, what a blessing. Thank you so much, Pastor, and thank you. Man, I love, there's something about, man, just the presence of God worshiping together, right? I love it. And I want to thank you guys for having me here. Pastor Joseph, man, this has been such a blessing. When Morgan got connected here, he's been so supportive, and you guys got a pastor that is kingdom first, and you guys got a pastor that is truth oriented, that has such a revelation of the experience of God's power. And so I just want to take a second. Can we show how much? It's not easy to pastor, and he's been doing this for 7 years. Can we show how much real quick? Just show your pastor how much you appreciate him, his family. Come on. Thank you so much, Pastor Joseph. Thank you. Man, we got a lot of people standing up for you. And man, I appreciate your heart. I appreciate your coming alongside and supporting Collective Church, man. It's so such a blessing to be here and to see the kingdom of God move all around Nebraska, Iowa, Omaha, Council Bluffs. God's on the move, right? And so I want to tell you guys, my name's Drew, and I don't know if we got a picture of my family, but we got my family sitting right here. Here we go. This is a picture of my family. We got a fun one here. And my wife, Morgan, has been leading here past couple weeks. And then oldest Elijah right in the middle. Zion, he's got his hands behind his head, and sweet little Uriah. It is such a fun stage. I think my middle child, Zion, says it best. Anytime something good happens in the day, he goes, "This is the best day. It's the best day. It's the best day." And it's such a fun season in life. And that's my family. And we got a group of us here from Collective Church. Can we wave real quick if you guys are here with Collective Church? There you go. And we got a picture. We got a picture of our team, and if we could pull that picture up, I don't know if we got it, the beach one, there you go. We got a group of crazy people. Really, our heart is to have a bunch of imperfect people and a perfect God changing the world together. And we believe that this is done in three different ways. We see it's done through real connection, just like we see in worship here, and through real connection with God and going to Him in our corporately, in our personal prayer time, in our personal time with the Lord, and then also real relationship. We believe that everything the gospel calls us to do is to be within the context of relationship, and then real impact and seeing God move in our city, in our world, and in beyond, for the kingdom and for God's glory. And so that's what we're all about. If you guys want some more information, you can go to collectiveomaha.com, and that's my little collective spiel right there. And Pastor Joseph encouraged that, and so, man, just another such a blessing to be here. But I want to open up real quick. If we can open up to Daniel 3, we're going to be talking today about being mission-driven, and we have a statement that we say at Collective, and one of our value statements, it says, we are united as faith-filled risk-takers, all called to boldly follow God as ordinary people doing extraordinary things. We're united, I'm going to say that again, faith-filled risk-takers, all called to boldly follow God as ordinary people doing extraordinary things. And as you guys are opening up, as you guys are pulling up the Daniel 3 in your Bible, our context here real quick. So what you have God's nation named Israel, and really terrible at following God and obeying him. And so God keeps saying, hey, I'm going to kick you out. I gave you this promised land, I'm going to kick you out. And they keep disobeying. He says, okay, finally, it's happening. And Babylon, another nation, comes in, kicks them out, overpowers them. They've been displaced there in exile. And then now we have King Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar is this ruthless, nasty, super powerful king over all these different nations that he's bringing together, and he's really trying to culturize them, bring them in and shape them according to his country's culture and break off the things that their culture had in them. And so that's where we get the problem here, where we get Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the King Nebuchadnezzar's made this giant gold statue. And if you guys follow VeggieTales at all, we're talking Rack, Shack, and Benny, right? And so what we have, he has this giant statue. Everybody's supposed to worship it. It's kind of this picture of King Nebuchadnezzar is in control. You follow and you obey me. And this is, it's a problem because the Jews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, aren't bowing down. And so they get reported to the king. And that's where we are in verse 14. Daniel 3, verse 14 is where we're going to start, and we're just going to do a little bit of story time. That all right? I love it. I love it. Okay, so here we go. So King Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you refuse to serve my gods or to worship the gold statue I have set up? I'll give you one more chance, but if you refuse, you'll be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace, and then what god will be able to rescue you from my power?" I feel like God's ears might have perked up at that point. I feel like that may have been a little bit of the challenging statement. Verse 16, he says, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, 'O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us, and he will rescue us from your power. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you've set up.'" I love what, and we're going to dive in a little bit deeper to that, but then essentially what happens, King Nebuchadnezzar gets really mad, makes the furnace 7 times hotter, uses his strongest soldiers. He's like, "You think you guys are going to escape this? I got the strongest guys. They're going to toss you in. This is going to be bad. You guys are more dead than dead itself. Like, you guys are gone." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, verse 23, "They're securely tied, fell into the roaring flames. Suddenly, Nebuchadnezzar jumped up in amazement and exclaimed to his advisors, 'Didn't we tie up 3 men? Yes, your majesty, we did. Look, 25, he says, Nebuchadnezzar shouted, "I see 4 men unbound, walking around in the fire unharmed. And the fourth looks like a god.' Then Nebuchadnezzar came as close as he could to the door of the flaming furnace and shouted, 'Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here.' So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stepped out of the fire, and the high officers, official governors, and advisors crowded around them, saw the fire hadn't touched them, not a hair on their heads was singed, their clothing wasn't scorched, they didn't even smell like smoke. This is nuts. And King Nebuchadnezzar said, 'Praise to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He sent his angel to rescue his servants who trusted him. They defied the king's command and were willing to die rather than serve or worship any god except their own God.'" Wow, that's crazy what the king, how he has made this about face, and then he continues to go and he's like, and becomes all King Nebuchadnezzar, and he's like, "Hey, so if anybody dishonors this God, I'm going to rip you to shreds." He's like, "Oh, you almost had it, king, you almost had it." So let's pray real quick. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray your word comes alive. I pray your word in us. God, I believe that you have something to speak to every individual here. God, I believe that your words are so much greater than mine. I pray that you would use this message, you would use these words to cut deep into the hearts of each person. there's something that I have to say, God, that is of me, that is not of you, God, I pray you'd shut me up. If there's something that I have to say that is not to be highlighted in a heart, God, I pray that you'd mute it and that you'd highlight the things in each individual's heart of what you are to speak. God, I pray that none of us would leave without allowing for you to enter in, shape our hearts, change us, God. We're here to follow you. God, I pray a blessing over each person in this room. I pray a blessing over each person listening online. God, I pray that you would move in us, that you would change us, you would shape us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, what we find here, we find Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And really, the first thing I want to highlight in our mission statement is this statement of we are all called. I don't know about you guys, but the Bible doesn't say anything about any other Jews standing up. And so I'm curious, was it just highlighting Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego because they're given some authority in Babylon? Or were these the only ones who were really standing up? And in our world today, man, that is so true that we're all called to stand for the gospel and stand for the message, yet not everyone's doing it. You see, 1 Peter 2:9 says, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. Anybody that says, yes, God, you are my Lord, you are my master. It's not about me, it's about you. And then he says, that you might. How? Why? Why are you this? And what are you going to do? That you might declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. We are to declare his praises. Everyone is called. Pastor Joseph was just talking about this, about we are all called to something bigger than ourselves. We're called to be missionaries. When you say yes to Jesus, we say yes to his mission. When we say yes to Jesus, we don't just say, yes, God, I'm going to come and everything's going to be great and I'm going to follow you and now everything is aligned and my life is easy now, right? No, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego obviously went through a lot more than the people around them who just were like, all right, I'm cool, I'm just going to bow down, just going to lay down. They had to go through something else. Here, where we're talking, this is when the church chooses to allow for the power of the church to not be dependent on the pastor. Pastor Joseph serves faithfully, but he is not the one person who's going to reach all of Council Bluffs, right? That's everyone else. That's you in the screen. That's you in the chairs. That is us coming together and going, man, we want to see this metro area changed. We want to see Council Bluffs. We want to see Iowa. We want to see the United States. We want to see the entire world come to know the glory and the goodness of God. And that can only happen when we all are set on fire to go after and to declare his glory. Amen? Amen. Amen. And so this is what I feel like is missed a lot. I feel like the people come and if you don't know, if you go, man, I haven't really given my life to Jesus. And you go, man, I wouldn't say that he is in control of my life and he is my boss. If you go, I don't know if I'm quite there yet. I think he's awesome. I think he's good. But man, if you're looking for something where life is beyond you, if you're looking for a purpose where you go, man, this is so much greater. If you're looking for something where you go, man, what was I created for? This is it. This is it. And I want to ask you, please take an opportunity today to respond to this and say, man, I'm going. I'm gonna step into the calling that I know that I've been given because I've been created by my God, and then I will glorify the God who created me. And this is our purpose. What we're doing as a team, this is probably, this mission-driven area, is honestly probably our weakest area right now. We do not, we talk as a team about going, man, I don't know how great, we haven't fully really lived this. So we're trying to internalize it and we're trying to live it out and I'm not doing a great job and we're all trying to figure this out. But man, as we're doing it, what I find is that God's on the front lines. There's two places that we find God. We see that we find him We find him on, we find his heart in the prayer closet. When it's just us and him, when we're worshiping here corporately, man, we discover his heart, but we find his activity on the front lines. We got to see his hands and feet. We got to see God moving and him doing stuff. And what is his actual mission? Where is he going? How is he changing this city? We can't do that sitting back in our own room doing our own thing. No, no, no. We got to get up there. We got to accept this call, and we got to go, man, I'm going to go out and I'm going to do something. I'm going to be a light in my workplace. I'm going to be a light in my neighborhood. There's different places, but we talk about, on our team, we talk about having a mission field. And most people pick either I'm going to be a missionary in my workplace, in my neighborhood, or maybe somewhere else that's frequent, like the gym, coffee shop, something like that, that you may go to. And this is my place. This is my place where I know when I step through those doors, when I walk into work, when lunchtime, when the lunch break hits, when whatever it may be, this is my time where it's no longer my primary motive is not about getting my job done. My primary motive is getting it done so that God may be glorified. My goal is to show and display the goodness and the glory of God. And I'm going to do that through how I get my groceries, through how I order and through how I notice the people around me at the coffee shop, through how I converse and I don't shut the garage door before I even get out of my car. And I'm going to be aware of my neighbors. I'm going to be aware of what's going on, and I'm going to talk to them when I see, man, I noticed that this was different. How was your vacation? Is there anything that we can do? Can we grab your mail? Can we be watching your door? Can we be picking up packages that are dropped on your doorstep? How can we help you while you guys are out? Let's be a missionary, just showing the love of God everywhere that we go. And that's picking that mission field. And we see, in fact, the AG, the Assemblies of God, where this church, the fellowship that this church is a part of, the fellowship that collective is a part of, it was started as a mission movement, not as a church, primarily a church movement, but a mission movement. We want to train people up to send them out as missionaries. And I believe that there's an intimate tie with that and this incredible supernatural things that you would see God doing in the church, in the Assemblies of God movement, that you go, oh my goodness, what's going on? There's healings, there's prophecies, there's things going on all over the place like you wouldn't believe. And it's intimately tied because they're on the front lines. They're going, we don't want to sit still. We're moving. We're moving. We're sending. We're empowering. We're going. We're seeing God do something that we haven't ever seen him do before because we're on the front lines with him. We're accepting the call and saying yes to God, which brings me to this next part of being mission-driven. The next step is faith-filled. Following this calling requires insane faith, an active faith. I find that there's saving faith and there's active faith. Active faith requires two things. It requires bold obedience is the first thing. And this is where we say faith-filled risk takers, all called to boldly follow God. See, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you see this when they say, you know what? I'm not bound down. It's this bold obedience. Man, wouldn't it be easier if it was like, okay, everybody hang out, stay low, and then when you hear the horn, stand up, right? Because then if you're staying low, it's like, I'm not honoring that. Guess what? But I'm kind of hidden. But here, it's I'm standing, and everybody gets to see this. This is bold. This is different. This is standing out, and this is bold obedience that says, yes, God. It reminds me of my football coach in high school, and he would tell us, look, I want you to just go. I want you to just do what, when I tell you to do something, if I say, give me push-ups, you get down on the ground, and you start doing push-ups, and you say, how many, coach? You don't first ask, okay, how many? Where do you want me to go? Do you want me to do it over there? Do you want me to, how fast? You want me to clap with it or just, he's like, don't ask me the questions. Just go. Just go. Just do it. And yet we do that so many times. God says, all right, I want you to be disciple makers in all nations around the whole world. Okay, well, let's parse out the Greek word of disciple, and let's just really, like, think about this. And I'm gonna take some time to pray about this, Jesus, right? Like, he's like, no, just go, just do it, and you'll see what I have for you next. You'll see. So many times we go, man, I'm not feeling God. I'm in the season of just like, oh, where is he? Where is he? And sometimes that's a season. Sometimes that's the season that we're in, but sometimes God's like, I'm over here. I told you to come over here, and I'm waiting for you. Come on. Come with me. You're not hearing me because I said go, and now when you get here, you're going to have such intimacy, and you're going to be moving with me in ways that you never thought. And so first step is bold obedience, but the other side of that coin, that we see bold obedience requires complete trust. And that's the other side of it. And we see this in verse 17 and 18. And I find that there isn't a better passage in Scripture that talks about this two-sided coin quite as well as this. Verse 17 and 18, it says, if we are thrown, this is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego talking to the king. Keep in mind, they're talking to literally the highest authority in the world at that point. They say, if we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. He will. They had this faith, but they also had this trust. Even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you've set up. See, bold obedience is not hinging our faith on God to do what we think makes the most sense. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are going, look, I believe that God can. I'm stating it in faith that he's gonna, but if he doesn't, I'm not shaken. Right? And we do that. That's so hard to do. It's so hard to do to go, God, I want this healing. God, I pray for this thing. God, I'm praying for this person. I'm praying for whatever. But God, my faith will not be shaken if it doesn't happen. It's this, it's the how the hands are held together. It can be so difficult. And I'm reminded of, I went on a mission trip to Turkey, and I was connected with some missionaries there. And one has a wife that's actually from Iran. And she tells a story about the Irani church and how she came to know the Lord. That there was a church, it was a church of about 20, mostly a family, I think another family maybe. And they were maybe the only church in all of Iran. 20 people, dozens of millions of people, right? And so super tiny little percentage of the nation. Yet, they're faithfully serving. The government finds out. They start threatening. What do? They pray, God, would you protect us? God, would you embolden us? God, would you keep moving forward? God, would you do this? But even if you don't, we will still obey. We will still follow. The pastor was found dead a couple weeks later. And the prayers that they prayed weren't answered the way that they thought. And his wife and his daughters, or the friend of this woman, told them that I met, and they're brokenhearted. They would never wish that. They would never hope for it. Yet faith wasn't shaken. Go, man, God, I don't know why. It just doesn't make sense. But what happened over the next couple weeks? You start seeing 2-3 weeks after this death, the church has tripled in size and it's 60. A couple months later, it's in the hundreds. You get a couple years later and this martyr has sparked something that actually has created the fastest growing church in the world. And it is what God is doing there, and we go, man, your glory would make a lot of sense, God, if you would just Paul and Silas him out of this jail. If you would just get him out, and like he just into some supernatural way, how cool would that be? Man, that'd be so great. That makes sense, right? That makes sense to me. And God goes, I have a different plan. I'm bringing him home, and there's going to be so much glory, so much greater glory because of it. And that's where we go, man, I'm going to completely trust in my God. Bold obedience and complete trust is the only way that we can get to ordinary people, seeing ordinary people doing extraordinary things. The keys can come up. I find that there is, most churches, I swear, have a magic front door, right? Like there is, when I walk in, I am, I'm focused, I'm ready to learn. I come in, God speaks through the message. God speaks through Pastor Joseph. My heart is getting changed. And then the message ends and my heart's like, all right, well, what am I going to do for lunch? And but I'm still a little bit impacted. And then I step out and it is like the space-time continuum was broken. And I step out of the church and it's as if I was never there, right? Like everything that God had done in my heart, it just disappears. Right? And we start going back on, and that's the flaw. I feel like part of what God has called me to do is preaching, yet I go, man, I see the flaws in it. And how are we to take what God speaks to us and actually make it, empower it for transformation? And this is where we see with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. How did the Hebrew boys allow, when no one else, maybe even their Jewish friends, weren't standing, how did they do it? See, I'm curious if Meshach would have been like, oh, there's the horns. Like, no, yep, no, I'm standing. Why? Because they did it together. It's so hard to stand on your own, but when you have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego going, hey, we're not budging here. We're going to do this and we're going to do it together. And that's where I find that everything, the context of all that we do is to be done in the context of community. So I want to say, honestly, take some time, look around you. Because what you have around, go ahead, look around you. Who is by you, who is on the screen with you, there are people all around, because everybody in here is going, man, I'm trying to figure out this whole following God thing, right? You got a whole bunch of people that are trying to figure this out, and together we can go, man, what's God doing? What's God doing in my life? How is he changing me? How is he shifting? What are the things that he's speaking to me in this message, and how can I move forward? See, there are, this is where we say we are united. Because if we're trying to seek unity by chasing each other, that's good, and it only works to an extent, but what happens when you chase each other, you end up butting heads, right? And man, I thought you would serve me in this way in return, and I thought maybe, and I had these expectations, but instead, I want you to picture like this, like all these different pieces trying to come together, and they'll bounce off of each other like pool balls. But if you take them all, you tie them on a string and you pull them up. No matter how far apart they've been separated, where when they're going in the same direction, it brings them together. When we're moving in the same direction, that is where we find our unity. We go, hey, even before I'm chasing after you, I'm chasing after God. And that's why I'm chasing after you. That's why I'm not because I'm expecting you to reciprocate, not because I'm hoping for this, but because I'm chasing after God. And this is that unity, that community that we're all called to. And I want to say, if you're new here, or if you don't feel like you have a community here, it's available. And let's make ourselves available to the people around us. Let's get to know some names. Let's start some real conversations. And I got a couple discussions that I want whatever you're doing at lunch or whatever you're doing after here, I want you guys to start some of these conversations to allow for this message to infiltrate in our actual lives and to infiltrate in our community, in our conversations, and in the people around us. And so this is why I say look around you, because I want you to think, who am I going to talk to about this? Who am I going to get real with? And I specifically want to challenge the men in here. Because men, we tend to think that manliness is emotionlessness. Oh, no, I don't. All I care is about fishing and food and fighting. Right? When in reality, what's a man? A man is built with a fight inside of him. And if we're not fighting for the right things, we're missing it. What are we fighting for? Hey, how can you, brother, how can you and I start fighting in the right direction? Fighting to be a better husband, fighting to be a better brother or sister, father, whatever it may be, to be a Jesus follower in my kingdom, in the kingdom of God. And so I got a couple different questions. What's the area that God's putting on your heart? Is it the mission field? How can I better use where I'm at to glorify God? My workplace, my neighborhood, the places that I frequent. How can I better use that? Man, do people look at me and go, that's different? Or do people look at me and go, man, that's all about him or her? Do people go, man, I see Jesus and there's something different about that person? Am I being intentional on my mission field, or is it bold obedience? What area do I need to start saying yes, God? And for some of you, that was the most uncomfortable part of this message, because you know that there's something that you're called to start doing or to stop doing or to step into. And it's like, I hate that. I hate what you're speaking is really uncomfortable. It's really unfamiliar because, man, I know that God's calling me to stop this. I know that God's calling me to start doing this. I know that God's calling me to step into the thing that he's been calling me to for a long time. Say yes, God. Or is it complete trust? Where am I withholding trust in God? Where am I going? God, I trust you in this, but... And I know for me, this was hard. Our youngest, Araya, had a pretty dramatic birth. And she was in the NICU for a month. And there's a time during that period where we're going, man, we just can't really figure this thing out. And I'm not really positive if she's going to make it. And so I go, I'm praying, God, I'm believing for healing. I'm believing for healing. I'm believing for healing. But I don't really want to trust you either way. I don't really want to like have that complete trust and the bold obedience at the same time. I just want to pray the bold prayer. I just want to pray for the healing, and that's it. And there's a time when I go, man, I'm afraid if I give her to you, that you're going to take her. And that scares me. And there's a time in the NICU when I was holding her and she was hooked up to... And I remember just holding her up, going, God, I do. I give her to you. And I trust you, and I choose to trust you. And this is an area that just in my heart, not that it actually may have changed anything, but man, I'm choosing to trust you in this, God, and I'm going to let go. Because with an open hand, God can give and God can take away. With a closed hand, he can't give you anything. And so I open up, and over the next couple months, we begin to see God supernaturally heal our daughter in ways that the doctors are going, well, I'm not sure how that happened, but she's just better. In fact, it was an adrenal gland problem. They're like, actually, now her adrenal gland's twice as strong as the average person, so I don't know what's going on. Like, that's God, right? Amen. The heart of this, being mission-driven, is to be God-centered, not us-centered. Our goal is God's glory, not our own. And I believe that that is the call of Crossroads here as well. And I see this church so much greater than just a Sunday morning, right? I mean, the Sunday mornings here are such a blessing. It is so cool. It's such a great church to be able to, I'm blessed every time I get to come here. You guys have God's given so much here, but I believe that this church is going to continue to see impact in the city and going to continue to see booming growth as we say, yes, God, I'm on mission. I'm on mission for your vision. I'm trusting you in areas that I've never trusted you before, and I'm going. I'm ready. Let's go. So I want to pray real quick, and as I pray, if everyone stand up. I just believe that this is an opportunity where we can stand before like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and go, man, God, I'm going to be bold. I'm going to take this. And during this prayer, if you want to come up and respond, come up to these altar areas and you can respond and go, God, I'm going to physically move right now to say, I am on mission. Others of you may be going, man, I need to start asking these questions. I need to start responding. I need to figure out who I'm actually going to be talking to about these questions, whether it is being on, how can I be better, glorify God where I'm at? What areas do I need to start saying yes, God, or where am I withholding trust? And during this prayer, I want to challenge you guys to respond, to just come up. We're not going to have a crazy long altar time, but we are going to have a time of just going, I say yes. I say yes. Sometimes I find it's more about the action than the emotion. This is it. I'm going to respond. So as I pray, feel free to move forward if God's calling you to move forward. Heavenly Father, right now, I just want to pray over every single person here and over this church and over Pastor Joseph and over how you are moving and how you are changing and how you are shifting this city and what you're doing. God, you are calling us. You are calling us to be mission-driven, to be focused for you, to be faith-filled, to be boldly obeying, to be completely trusting of you. And God, right now, I pray that every single one of us, God, me included, God, that we would respond to your call, that we would say yes to making disciples, that we would say yes to declaring your glory everywhere we go. God, we are yours. We are yours. We are yours. Would you challenge us? Would you move us? Would you grow us? Would you empower us for your movement, for your kingdom, for your church in this city? God, I pray for those who do not follow you, who have not had the opportunity, who have not said yes, who have not said yes, you are my God. God, I pray that the purpose and the call that you are giving to them, saying, follow me, and I'm going to send you, and I'm going to give you something like you've never had before. God, I pray for a yes there. I pray for a yes right there. If that is you, if you're going, man, I'm ready to say yes, I just want to see you real quick. Will you keep our eyes closed? I just want to see you raise your hand real quick. If you're saying, yes, God, for the first time, I'm going to follow you boldly. I'm going to follow you. Come on. I'm seeing those hands. Praise God. Praise God. And I want to challenge you. If your hands are up saying, yes, that's me, find someone else. Find a pastor. Find a leader here. And we're going to, because remember, it's got to be done in the context of community. So, Father God, I pray your blessing. God, I pray that we would be convicted, and I pray that we would move according to your power, according to your grace, not our own. And God, we don't need, God, I pray that we don't need an insanely emotional response. We just go. In Jesus' name. And that, God, I pray that as the amen of this prayer is stated, that you would send us, that you would launch us, that we would go out, and wherever we go for lunch, wherever we go for coffee, wherever we go in our neighborhood, wherever we go at our workplace, God, I pray that you would send us, that you would give us a light to give out. You would fill us, God, right now. Fill us with your power. Fill us with your power. Holy Spirit, would you come in and move in us? Move in us. Fill us. We love you. We need you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Come on. Let's praise God. Let's praise God. This is big. This is big.
Wow, what a word. I want to say this before we dismiss you. Let's remove the magical door. Let's don't just walk out and discount everything that God has spoken and placed on you. Yeah. It's so easy to do. We're called and we feel that, you know, that calling and service. We hear God speaking, but then when we go out, we allow the voice of the enemy to speak louder than the voice we heard in church. And so right now I want to say, don't discount what God has spoken to you today. Don't disregard it. Don't throw it away. Don't walk away from it. Write it down and share it with someone. Before you leave, share it with someone and put it down on your phone. This is what God spoke, and I'm going to walk this out. I don't know how, I don't know when, I don't know where, but I know God spoke this, and it will come to pass because God spoke it. So please write it down and tell someone before you walk out the door. Otherwise, it'll turn into a magical door. Let's give Pastor Drew a great big hand. Thank you for the word. Let's give their team a great big hand, Collective Church. And we commit as a church to pray for you guys, to stand with you, and to be here to do anything that we can. to serve you.
Amen. Thank you.
God bless you all. Be blessed and know that we love you and are praying for you. Have a great week.